They say you should talk about what you know, but I don't think you want to hear about tax-free municipal bonds. Actually, I don't know anything about them. If I did, I'd probably own some and feel happy. But anyway, Missy Chamberlain was probably the worst folk singer in the entire world. But she was definitely the worst folk singer in Maine. You know, she started in college because, well, everyone was doing it. And she got a used Martin with a rounded plastic back and a chord book. And she practiced till she had calluses on her fingers. And she went to Colorado. And she wrote a song about being way up on top of a mountain in the Rockies. And people thought it was about being high in the dorm room. And then she was in a motel in Kansas. And she put her last 50 cents in an ice cream vending machine. And the damn bar wouldn't come out. She was shaking and kicking the machine for half an hour. And she wrote a song about that. And people thought it was like a science fiction allegory about being high in the dorm room. And then she went all the way to California, because you have to go to California if you're going to be a folk singer. And she was at Big Sur. And she wrote a song about Justine from the Alexandria Quartet. And people thought it was a song about Justine, a roommate back in the dorm at college, who she used to get high with. And then, you know, she graduated, and the real world dropped on her like a 20-ton weight. And she had crappy jobs, and she went to open mics, and she went to, you know, to church basements. And she played, and people just did not like her. And she was finally at the point where she was thinking, you know, maybe people don't like me. And she was driving out of town to go to the city and sell her guitar at a consignment shop. When she passed by the Muskellunge Lodge, and there in front was that rented trailer, the trailer sign that said, annual bean supper, bar, entertainment wanted. Now the Muskellunge Lodge, this was the highlight of the season in Bethel, Maine, the annual bean supper. They reputedly had a secret recipe for their baked beans that went back to the King Philip's War. That's 1676. And it was tasty. The only problem was that it was a blend of spices and beans that had a horrible effect on the lower part of the human body. You had to have a strong constitution to perform at the annual bean supper. And most performers in Maine, you know, they told each other, you know, watch out for the Muskellunge. That's the gig you don't want. And many, you know, and some people signed up for it and they couldn't even make it through their first set. And they would leave. And if they'd leave, then past president Sluggo LaBeef would be at the trap door to the root cellar, and he'd get out this old musty accordion that he kept down in the root cellar, and he'd start playing the accordion, doing his Rudy Valley imitation, which someone who had been in submarines during the war said, it was like being depth charged while listening to Vogon poetry. And so the Muskellunge were desperate for entertainers, so when Missy Chamberlain did a U-turn and came back to the Muskellunge Lodge and walked in and said, well, I think I'm available that night. Could I perform? They signed her up without any questions like, can you play an instrument? Can you sing? Can you sing while playing an instrument? It didn't matter. Anything was better than Sluggo LaBeef. And so the night came. And they had the ritual invocation, and all the Lodge brothers were there with their hats, and they got up, and they did their secret sign. And the ladies' auxiliary, the women of the Muskellunge, or as they were popularly known, the Musky women, were at work in the kitchen serving up those crocks of baked beans, and people dug in, and they dug in, because once you started, you couldn't stop. And then it was time for the entertainment. And Mr. Chamberlain got up, and she played, I don't know whether it was the ice cream song or the one about Justine. It wasn't very good, but people started clapping, and they clapped, and they clapped, and they clapped. What Missy didn't know was that it was a long-standing tradition at the Muskellunge Lodge due to the, you know, the effect of the means was that whoever broke first, whoever gave in and cut loose first, had to take charge of and plan next year's annual bean supper. And since Missy had been good enough to actually play an entire song, terrible though it was, people were thinking, if this just lasts a little longer, if this applause lasts a little longer, no one will know. No one will know. So they're clapping and clapping and clapping. And finally they had to stop, and people were like, and Missy played another song. But it had been years since anyone had actually clapped for her. And it was years since she had actually gotten any applause like that. So she played the other song, the ice cream machine song, and this time she played it like she actually remembering when she wrote it. She sang it with more conviction and more clearly. And it wasn't really good, but boy, those people were clapping and clapping and clapping. They're just saying, man, if we can just stretch this out a little longer. You know, and so she played and they clapped. And after a while she thought, you know, this feels so nice. It hasn't felt like this. And she actually loosened up. She shed some of that defensiveness that she'd gotten over those years of rejection. And she actually started singing a song about Bethel, Maine. And she started making up verses on the spot about all the things she liked about the town. And they clapped. So she didn't really have any other songs. So she sort of sang the same song, but about all the stuff she didn't like about the town. And they still clapped. So she just loosened up and she sang a song that she had actually practiced. And it was a cover song, but she actually could do it pretty well. And they clapped for that. So by the end of the evening, you know, who had to do next year's bean supper, that got it handled, and you know, they had the ritual outvocation and they thanked everyone. And the secretary of the lodge came bustling up and asked her, well, you know, are you available for next year? And no one had ever asked her, you know, are you, you know, no one had ever, like, while she was doing a gig, had ever come up and said, oh, wanted to book her again. And the idea of, well, wow, I'm booked for a whole year in advance. It just like, made a warm spot in her heart. So Missy said, yes, of course, I'm available next year. And she left there. And she didn't even think about, well, how bad it had smelled in there, and what, you know, the weird sound effects. And she thought, because she was still, you know, she thought maybe it was the sound system. But she just had this glow in her heart, and she went home and she said, you know, maybe I should actually practice songs. You know, I shouldn't be so paralyzed by the thought of, like, oh, I have to play that I don't put it off and then I feel bad about it. I shouldn't feel bad about it beforehand and feel bad about afterwards. Maybe I'll just practice and get the feeling bad over with, so when I perform I'll feel good. And she started loosening up and writing some songs that people, if she said, well, this is a song about herring fishing, people said, yeah, that's a song about herring fishing. And she got better. And within a few years, she was a folk singer, and she wasn't the worst folk singer in Maine. And that's the story of the Muskellunch Lodge and the annual bean supper.
Good job.